Right, we're going to hear from God's word in Scripture now, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. John's going to read to us.
For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave the earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on the heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as we guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit, so that we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body.
Right, the series of sermons that we're doing at the moment came out of a conversation that I had last year where I quoted a Bible text to somebody, and this person said that text seemed to make their burden heavier rather than lighter. And I asked the leadership team of the church to come up with the text that could do that for them. And at the moment, we're working through some of the texts that they offered me. So we've had texts about being joyful, the pressure that we sometimes feel to feel joyful. We've had a text about being confident. We've had a text about being more than conquerors. Are we really more than a conqueror? And the text that we're going to be looking at this morning is the text that talks about us walking by faith and not by sight. And the person who gave me that text wrote underneath it, "It's hard when you've got a lot of doubts." And sometimes I think as Christian believers, we can feel this pressure that we ought to have great faith all the time, that we ought to be like Peter. You know, Peter's saying to the Lord, "Lord, if that's you, call me out. I'll walk on the water. I'll do the impossible things." We feel this burden of having to be people of great faith all the time. So I want to try and explore this idea of faith today, trying perhaps to help us to think more clearly about it. So the first thing that I want to say today is that crises of faith are normal. They are a normal part of the Christian life. We should not be surprised when they happen to us. If you were at the PPP meeting on Thursday, you will have heard a great testimony of somebody who had a crisis of faith. And we're not going to go into that this morning. But there are others of you who have spoken to me about your own crisis of faith. That there have been times in your Christian walk, for some of us quite recently, where it feels that it's all falling apart and it's very hard to believe anymore. Sometimes we feel that the faith is being knocked out of us. We don't feel at this moment like Peter saying, "Lord, come, call me to come on the water." We feel like Peter when he's on the water and the waves are surging around him and the wind is blowing, and about the best prayer that we can pray is, "Help, Lord, I'm going to drown." And sometimes when we are in a crisis of faith, we find that hard to do. Peter is a good example of somebody who had a number of crises in his faith. He was somebody who was capable of great faith. He was also capable of getting it very wrong. One day Jesus says to him, we won't go into the details of the discussion, who do you say I am? And Peter's reply is, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus is overjoyed. Jesus sees Peter, he says, you are so blessed, Peter. You don't believe that because somebody has taught it to you. You believe because it's been revealed to you by your Father in heaven. And I imagine Peter going, faith going well here. You know, even Jesus thinks I'm doing well. This has got to be good. You ever feel like that? And then Jesus decides that since Peter is doing so well, it's time to teach him a few things. And he starts to say, well, right, what's going to happen is we're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be crucified. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And Peter is so shocked by this. Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And suddenly Peter moves from having great faith in Jesus. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Isn't this great? To actually saying, no, Lord. I just can't believe what you're saying. I can't believe what you are saying, not just what Jesus is going to have to go through, but what Peter is going to have to go through. Now, Peter's faith didn't entirely disappear at that point, but Peter's faith was certainly in need of a very big rework. Later on, Peter would be with the Lord at the Last Supper. And, oh, he's so keen to follow Jesus. Jesus, I'll do anything. I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. Fantastic faith. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter sees Jesus being arrested and he can't take it. And he gets out his sword. He chops off the ear of one of the people who've come to arrest Jesus, and Jesus heals the man. Put your sword away. Jesus says, those who draw the sword will die by the sword. And the Peter who is so keen to follow Jesus and go anywhere cannot handle the Jesus who refuses to fight. And a few moments later, Peter finds himself denying Jesus three times and then weeping bitterly. How can it be that this man can soar from such great faith to his faith collapsing? Well, because he's just like us. And we're all capable sometimes of great faith, and we're all capable sometimes of thinking that this whole thing is absolutely falling apart. And although it's true that Jesus rebukes Peter for not being able to walk on the water for very long, it is important to say this is what happens. This is what we do. Let me try and put this right. This might be a bit dangerous. I don't mind if you hear a message this morning that says you've got little faith, as long as you do not hear that message as saying that you're worse than anybody else. Do you get that? Because that is really, really important. Because the difficulty is there are some of us, it's the way our brains work, that when we hear a message that says we have little faith, our first reaction is to look around and think, everybody else here has got great faith, and I'm the one who's the failure. The truth is we are a community of people who have little faith. We are a community of people who sometimes are capable of great faith, but who often find that our faith seems to hit the buffers. Now, the testimony of Christians across the ages is that this experience of having a crisis of faith, in the end, can work out to be something very positive. You know, when Peter started to follow the Lord, he had fantastic faith. There he is, he's in his boat one day. Jesus arranges things so that after Peter has had a rubbish night fishing, he's caught nothing. Jesus tells him what to do. The boat is full of fish. And Jesus says to him, right, from now on, follow me. You're going to be catching people now. You're not going to be catching fish. And Peter in a great moment of faith, just walks away from the family business. Well, but before they go, here's the thing. They go to Peter's house, and it turns out that Peter's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. And Jesus goes in, raises her up, and she's better. A miracle. And I imagine Peter at that moment, he's thinking, following Jesus is going to be good. Miraculous catch of fish. My mother-in-law healed. Wow, what is Jesus going to do next? At that point, Peter had a lot of faith, but he had little understanding. He didn't really get what Jesus was trying to do. He didn't really get who Jesus was. And for Peter really to get it, he had to go through the crises. He had to go through the times where he didn't get Jesus at all. He had to go through the times where people would challenge him and he would say, I don't know him. And although he was denying his Lord, really, Peter at that moment was in a way telling the truth. Now, there are many other Bible stories that we could go through to talk about the way that this works. But perhaps for some of us, we need to try and interpret the crises of faith that we've had as a normal part of the Christian life. And perhaps some of us who haven't been through this, you need to put this thought in the bank. You need to realize that a crisis will probably come, and that when it does, it's part of the whole process of faith within us. The second thing I want to say about faith today is that faith is about seeking. It's about looking for God. Faith is not about saying, I've completely found him. I know everything that there is to know. It says in the Bible that those who come to God must believe that God exists, must have faith that God exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The great stories of faith in the Bible are not so much stories of people who knew everything and had complete trust in God. They were people who wanted to reach out to God and were prepared to put in the effort to make it happen. I think of a lady who had suffered severe bleeding for years. And she sees Jesus in that crowd. And she wants to touch the hem of his garment because somehow she's got it in her head that if she can touch the hem of that garment, she is going to be made well. I don't know where she got that from. There was nothing magical about Jesus' clothes at all, but she got that into her head. And she works her way through the crowd. It was a very difficult thing to do. And eventually she manages to touch him. Do you know what? Her faith gets rewarded. And she is well. The faith that she shows there is not the faith of the person who says everything's going to be fine. It's the faith of the person who says, I'm determined to get through no matter what. What about Zacchaeus going up that tree? Tax collectors don't climb trees, but he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to get a look at Jesus. And Jesus looked up into that tree and he saw Zacchaeus and he saw the faith of Zacchaeus. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down because I'm going to come to your house today. Or think of four men with a friend who is paralyzed and they want to get him to Jesus. And they somehow get him up on the roof, which would be easier, admittedly, than getting one to the roofs of our houses, but it still must have been effort. They get him up on the roof. They make a hole in the roof to get him down. It's like no matter what it takes, we are going to get through to this man. Faith is about seeking. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So for us today, great faith might be us saying, I don't know what's going on here. I don't understand. But I am going to call out to God today. And I'm not going to give up until I meet with him. I'm not going to give up until I know him. And maybe for some of us, we've been through a time in our life where it all seemed to be so easy, where it seemed that God answered every prayer, where it seemed that every time we prayed, the angels in heaven were singing. Well, maybe not that good, but it was pretty good. It seemed it was good, and now it seems that it's not like that, and there's pressures on us and whatever. Faith makes us seek. God rewards those who seek him. And how does he reward them? They find him. They get to know him. But let's try and get rid of the idea that faith is about feeling everything's fine all the time. I just don't believe that that ever happens. And the third thing I want to say today is that faith really does matter. That God wants us to be growing in faith. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him for our future. I did a word search in Matthew's gospel, all the number of times faith is mentioned. There are just so many. Don't worry, he says, about tomorrow. Don't worry about the food you will eat or the clothes you will wear. Because if God can clothe the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? See, Jesus is saying to his disciples, you're my people. If this is going to work, you've got to trust me. You've got to believe in me. But you know the story in Matthew's gospel of the Roman centurion? Sends messages. My son is ill. Jesus goes to go to his house. And the centurion says, oh, no, that's not necessary. Don't worry yourself. I don't deserve that. Just say the word, and he will be healed. And Jesus, it's one of the few times where we actually hear that Jesus was surprised or astonished. Jesus is astonished, and he says, no, I haven't seen faith like this before. When this man has faith, incredible things happen. We've got the story of Jesus walking on the water and Jesus talking to Peter. We've already mentioned that today. We've got the story of the man who is brought down through the roof. It says in that text that when Jesus saw their faith, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Wasn't just the faith of the one who was carried, but the faith of the community of people who brought him. The lady who worked through the crowd to touch Jesus. Jesus turns and sees her. And he says, take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. Jesus sees two blind men. And they come up to him. What do you want me to do? We want to see. Do you believe or do you have faith that I can do this? Yes, they said. And Jesus says, according to your faith, let it happen. And they could see. Jesus goes to Nazareth, another time where it talks about Jesus being surprised. It says he didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. We've got Peter walking on the water and Jesus reaching out to him. You of little faith, why do you doubt? A woman comes to Jesus and asks him to heal her daughter, and initially it seems as if Jesus is refusing. I love this story. She argues back, and Jesus says, you've got great faith, and her daughter was healed from that moment. Faith is not about going, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, to what Jesus appears to be saying all the time. Faith is sometimes about arguing with God. And if today the position in life that you're in means that you want to have a big argument with God, my advice is that you have it. My advice is that you go and find somewhere quiet. I mean, you could pray in the prayer zone with somebody afterwards. They might be shocked by things that you say. But go and find a quiet place to pray and have it out with God. Tell him what you think is going on. This woman argues back to Jesus, and Jesus is absolutely delighted. And he realizes that this woman is coming from a place of faith. Part of seeking God is having the discussion with God. Part of seeking is saying to God, God, I thought it was going to be like this, but now it's like this, and I don't like it. Lord, what are you going to do about it? And sometimes God appears to be saying something to us. Now, I would say most of the time saying yes to God is a very good idea, but I do believe there are times when God actually wants us to argue back with him. There's a great example, we haven't got time, but there's a great example of Moses doing that in the New Testament. And of course, Jesus himself, Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, is there any other way? Do I have to go to the cross? Jesus was sweating, it says in Luke's gospel. His sweat was like drops of blood. You know, I went to a great pastor's conference this week, but we were singing that old hymn, you know, I stand amazed in the presence, which is a hymn that I dearly love, but I just couldn't relate to it this week when we sang it. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Of course Jesus had tears for his own grief. He was about to go to the cross. And he talks to God, and eventually he gets to the point of saying to God, God, not my will, but yours be done. But he gets to the point where he can say that for real with faith. That's not a place that any of us get to quickly. It usually comes after a lot of discussion and argument. Jesus says, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. Why couldn't we do this miracle? Jesus says to the disciples, because you have so little faith. And this morning we come here. We come here because we have faith. Whether you think your faith is small or great, your faith is incredibly precious. If you hear any sort of rebuke today, I've said this before, but it's probably worth repeating. If you feel a rebuke that you've got little faith, that's fine, as long as you don't think that it means you're worse than anybody else, because you most surely are not. But perhaps today there's some of us God actually wants to commend and says you have got great faith. And if you have great faith, keep seeking him. Keep having the conversation with him. Keep seeking to please him. Because we have faith, it says in the Bible, we make it our aim to please God. Let's pray. Father, we want to know what it is to have faith, and we praise you that you are a God in whom we can have confidence. We can know you. We can trust you, we can love you, we can serve you, we can take risks for you. Lord, sometimes our faith gets battered. Sometimes we feel it's being driven out of us. Sometimes we hardly feel we have faith at all. And like many, many believers before us, we find it difficult. But Lord, in those times, you still can reach out your hand to us and hold us. Father, help each one of us today to be people of faith. We're going to have just a short time of quiet now, just to give you the opportunity in the silence to say to God what you want to say to him today.